Let's talk about games, Tommy. Let's talk about PvP. Let's talk about all the good games and the bad games we've been playing. Let's talk about games.
That was worth the wait.
Tom, I'm out of attack. Sorry. Hello. That's my signature laugh for listeners. Ooh. I do have no idea what I laugh like when I'm being an absolute spanner.
Welcome to
Tom and Matt Attack. Yeah, I'm a master of parody, I've been told. Yeah. I need to get something off my chest to start this podcast that has nothing to
do... Or off your feet.
Off my feet, it could be. That has absolutely nothing to do with games. I attended an event this afternoon, late afternoon, called Finders Keepers.
Nothing to do with the Neil Buchanan hosted kids game show.
No, and losers did not weep.
Popular in the 90s.
Yeah, Finders Keepers.
Also, Finders Keepers!
Wasn't there a band called Finders Keepers? Anyway, we're going off point. There was a thing called Finders Keepers, and essentially what it is... A lot of creatives and illustrators and people who... Not to say that illustrators aren't creative. A lot of people who make... Well, in all fairness, a lot of these illustrators weren't really that creative.
Overpriced tosh,
I think, could sum up quite a bit of it. But there were some very nice illustrations. I did buy a print. I also bought some socks, and this is where the problem lies, in that there were 7x1, the socks are called, and I didn't realise this at the time, because they were half price. They were supposed to be 300 krona, i.e. like 30 quid for socks. Mm. And they were like, well, they're half price, because we're trying to get the brand out there, do-do-do-do-do. So I was like, great, these look like really nice socks. They feel really smart. They're nice, comfortable socks. They're very good structurally. I gave them a pull and they didn't seem to rip under my fingers. I was like, great, the material's awesome. I got them home, Tom. I realised that 7x1 actually meant that these were solo socks.
Solo socks, is that a thing? No pairs,
just solos. And the back of it says, with solo socks, you no longer need a pair of socks after washing. Just put them back and provide a storage box. You also avoid stacking up socks and missing a pair. What? So they're all 7 socks. They're 7...
They're trying to convince you that the idea of odd socks is a good one.
Well, like, I'm a subscriber to odd socks. I am a man who will not pair socks, much to my girlfriend's mum's annoyance when we were at a wedding. She actually bought me a pair of black socks to make sure I had a pair of socks.
Well done.
Yeah, I don't subscribe to the conventions of paired socks.
You put them together. You can put the pairs of socks, put the two socks together.
Yeah.
You know, do that.
You can, however... Like, my frantic washing schedule tends to mean that I tend to wash a load of socks that may not be paired. So...
So you're stuck in this problem. This is what I do.
Yeah, no, I get that, but I'm saying I've not worn paired socks in such a long time that I don't think... I've even, like, thrown socks out. Like, if I have a sock that is broken, I will throw that sock out. Well, you know what I mean? Like, I'm quite strenuous on my footwear, and in general, I have size 12 feet for you UK listeners, size 47 for Europeans. They're bloody big feet, and so I tend to be quite heavy-footed, and I tend to wear my socks out and my shoes quite regularly. Like, they break at the heel. A lot, my socks, or they'll rip at the toes. Just because my feet are so bloody long that I can't actually find 47 socks, and so they tend to rip. It always goes from 41 to 46 when you buy socks, here in Denmark anyways. Anyway, so these socks aren't in pairs. So I paid like 150 krona, i.e. like 16, 17 quid for 7 odd fucking socks.
And but they do have little tags stitched into the top of them.
They do have little tags stitched into the sock, Mum.
Which no one will ever see, as I pointed out.
Yeah,
to
which
Matthew
no one
earlier.
Will ever see. Especially if I do the roll thing you did, like even when they're on the floor in the living room and you have to deal with them, they're not going to be seen by even you. You'll just pick them up and throw them.
That's what I do anyway. Pick them and throw them back in your room.
Tom and Matt Sock, welcome to this week's Sock Podcast. Anyway, what have you been playing? What have you been buying?
Oh, okay. This week, I've been playing... What have I played the most this last week? I'm trying to think. Probably most time I spent with any one game was Guitar Hero Warriors of Rock.
Yes, I did see you were a rock warrior when I walked in.
Yeah, I got the urge to play a bit of Guitar Hero this weekend. Something I do on Saturday mornings quite frequently.
Strumming your Gene Simmons axe.
Yes. Did we ever mention that in the podcast?
I think we did. I'm pretty sure we mentioned the escapades of me getting the axe.
If we did.
I'm pretty sure.
Oh. Anyway, I've got a Gene Simmons multi-format guitar.
Yes, it's not an official product, but it's an official Gene Simmons product.
Yeah, not even an official Kiss product, is it? It's Gene Simmons.
It's just Gene Simmons, even though he's wearing his Kiss makeup on it.
Yeah, there's a little picture of Gene Simmons' face. <It is. laughs> A photo, not even an illustration. It looks very odd on. Anyway, so Guitar Hero Warriors of Rock was released a while ago.
Yes.
But it's quite unique among the music guitar games.
In that there is a point to it.
And there is a sort of storyline where you have to... you have several rockers, which you're probably familiar with. Rockers, I sound so... I sound old.
You
several
do.
Rockers.
You sound like you're a man in your 40s trying to explain pop culture.
Who have featured in previous Guitar Hero games, you know, like Johnny Napalm and these guys. Judy Nails.
The big fat guy in Kiss makeup.
Yeah, Lars, I think his name is. Umlaut or something like that. Anyway, the point of the game is to get your character to ascend to the level of Guitar Hero Warrior. And you do that by performing the songs to the best of your ability. A culmination of points you collect once you get to a certain level, you will turn into the Rock Warrior version.
I saw you were a headless horseman styled dude earlier.
Yeah, so they look as you expect they look normally, and then they change and into something a little bit more supernatural. And the idea is you get all these characters to ascend to this level, and then you have to get this special sacred guitar by playing through Rush's 2112 album.
Which seems insane that there is a whole Rush album.
Although I think it's slightly abridged. The songs kind of fade out, and each song is interspersed with some narration by members of Rush.
But what happens if you don't like Rush?
Yeah, then you spend like 20-odd minutes playing through music that you're not a fan of.
Yeah.
But
like,
I think it fits in with the songs that are on Warriors of Rock. I mean, Rush is rock. It's quite...
We had this conversation in the week that I'm not necessarily the biggest fan of Rush. You played me one or two Rush songs that I actually quite enjoyed, and I'm actually now considering giving Rush another look.
Yeah.
But like, I quite like heavy metal and progressive rock and stuff, but I wasn't necessarily a fan of Rush, but I am a fan of Guitar Hero. Mm. And us watching that
Charlie Brooker's Games Wife.
That's the boy. Thank
and,
you.
Dara Breen was actually brought up this as an issue he has with these music rhythm games. You have to play through several songs you don't like in order to unlock the ones that you really want to.
Yeah, but that's a whole fucking album. Like, that is a whole album of a band you may not like.
That's
like,
right, and you have to do it to get to the second half of the game.
And that's what always pissed me off about Rock Band, is that I had to, like, as a singer, I had to sing, like, songs in, like, Spanish and stuff. And I was like, I have no fucking clue with these
lyrics.
Well,
you never had to sing anything.
I had to attempt it, though. Like,
well, it depends if you were doing the vocals.
I was doing
the
vocals.
You didn't want to play the guitar, you would prefer to do the vocals.
We were doing it as a band. And I was failing us because I had to try and fucking
sing
Spanish.
Yeah, you're doing it as a band, yeah. But if you weren't doing it as a band, you could just bypass the fact that you have to sing.
Oh, but like, I want to sing. Like, why have you got Spanish lyrics in there? Like,
for the Spaniards.
Yeah, no, but like, put it as an option. Put those as like optional tracks, like, or make the market specific. Mm. Like, you can buy Kent SingStar, who are some Scandinavian band that no one's ever heard of outside Scandinavia. Yeah. We're in Scandinavia. I've never heard of them other than their SingStar.
Yeah, has-beens, I suppose.
They're quite big, apparently, in the PS2 era.
Anyway, you raise a good point. Everyone likes Rush. Fair enough.
No, that's not the point I was trying to make, but continue.
I enjoyed, actually, playing through the album, maybe because I like Rush. But also the visual accompaniments to the songs were pretty cool as well.
Was it a Rush playing them?
I'd say so.
Good.
It's pretty good. So, yeah, enjoyed it. And by the time I got through that Rush album, I was able to play Love Gun by
Kiss. Like, what have you don't like Rush? What if you're a diehard Kiss fan? What are you supposed to do?
I think Rush and Kiss fans kind of cross over, I think, a little.
Yeah, but as you yourself have established to a man in a 7-Eleven or a Greggs or wherever he was who quizzed you on your Kiss credibilities once wearing a Kiss t-shirt, your response was to his question of, what's your favourite Kiss song? Well, everyone likes Love Gun.
He actually said, what's your favourite song? Which was very open.
It was, yeah. You assumed Kiss.
What? What's your favourite song? That's a strange thing to be asked when you're buying a Coke, isn't it? And then I looked at my t-shirt and realised, oh, Kiss, right. Everyone likes Love Gun.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone does like Love Gun. Not necessarily everyone likes Rush.
Well, there we are.
Why did you get that specific? Like, I can understand, like, Guitar Hero Aerosmith is for necessarily Aerosmith fans, much like Green Day and Metallica. If you are a Green Day or a Metallica fan, maybe you'll go, hey, I really want to play a load of songs by Green Day, well, as a lot of people did with the Beatles.
I'll tell you the relevance.
But sticking a whole fucking album in the middle of the game.
There's a relevance to why they picked this album, because it's about someone finding a guitar, and in the storyline to the game, you have to collect the sacred guitar. And the album is about someone discovering a guitar from a society where, you know, this instrument is frowned upon. And it's the guy who discovers the magic of the guitar. There's a lot of relevance to
using it. That came first. Surely, like, someone was like, hey, we should put a Rush album in this. Hey, let's generate a story around it rather than the other way around.
How it came about, that would be interesting. I don't know if Rush approached Neversoft, or I think they developed that one.
They did indeed,
And said, you know, we'd like to get on this guitar or a bandwagon here. Do you want to give us a full game? You can have a bit in this new one.
Oh, maybe that's what it was.
We really wanted the Guitar Hero Rush. Come on.
Maybe that's what it was. Oh, okay. I feel sorry for him now.
Maybe it was.
Hey,
here's a compromise, Rush. I know you're keen, but see what? We're putting the whole album for you. Oh, will you? Oh, yeah, sure.
What about that one?
We need you to narrate in between, because we're not actually going to put the entire songs on. We're going to kind of fade them out after a few minutes. Because your songs are quite long, aren't they, Rush? You know.
Can you go back and, like, play the full song afterwards? Are the full songs in there?
I think maybe. It does say you now it is unlocked for you to be able to
Do you think play. That is, like, that was the compromise? Do you think, like, they tested it with a lot of people? They're like, I don't want to play fucking an hour of Rush. They were like, well, we'll have to kind of fade the songs
in. It works.
Yeah, and but like, it's still 20 minutes of Rush. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I think we better move on.
I think so.
I think we'll rush on with this. And they also played a bit of Worms too, Armageddon again. This is an interesting story. Well, maybe to some of you.
Okay.
I found someone to play online. Wow, that's... doesn't usually happen whenever I search for games on Worms 2 Armageddon on the Xbox. And he was just too good. You know, he could tell he set up the room himself. He set up the rules of the game exactly how he liked to play it. Yeah. Frequent weapon drops, a level which lends itself very well to using the ninja rope repeatedly.
Yeah.
And he could just kind of get around the whole level. The turns were still only like 15 to 20 seconds long.
But he was still
and
like
he was like
Spider-Man in it.
He like Spider Worm.
Yeah.
He was fantastic, and he obliterated me. I felt like sometimes he was playing with me. You know, he could have killed me earlier.
You think?
But he was just showing off.
Yeah.
You know, you should have seen him swinging around, collecting all these weapon crates, like whoop, 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 like that.
Really?
Anyway, I lost, and that was that.
Interesting.
Yeah, next time I hope to find someone not so out of my league.
Yeah.
But we'll see. As I said on last week's podcast, I do enjoy Worms, and just recently I've been going back to it a fair bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to go back to last week's podcast and you talking about Worms, actually, after me listening to it and editing it. I'm sure we've had a conversation on this very podcast at the point I tried to say of, is that one of those games you have a version of it on every console?
Mm-hmm.
To which you...
said no.
To which you said, no, why would I do that? But I'm pretty damn sure we've had a conversation on this very podcast of you saying, like, you like to have a version of a particular game on each console.
Oh, I have said that.
Yes, and that was the point I'm trying to make.
I have said that. Games that I really like, I'd like to have a version of it on
most consoles.
Most, I don't think I've got it on every console. It's like something like Sonic 2.
Yeah.
I have it in various forms.
Yes.
Nearly every console I own, I have a version of Sonic 2 for it.
Yeah. You have a version of, like, you have, well, I guess, like, Mario Karts and stuff are kind of self-explanatory because they are pretty much it was a foundation of each console.
The idea, if for whatever reason you had didn't have access to a particular console with that game on, there'd always be an alternative.
Yeah.
I've got Sonic 2 on my iPod and my phone. Yeah, I think. No, I've got Sonic 1 on my phone. Just on my iPod.
Okay.
Touch. Yeah. I got it on my DS. I've got it on my...
Wii.
GameCube. 360.
Sonic Mega Collection on the PS2.
Saturn, PS2, Mega Drive.
How have you got it on the Saturn?
On Sonic Jam.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, yes. Good point.
Yeah.
I do have several versions of Worms, but not for every system. Sorry to say, Matthew. Sorry to disappoint you.
God damn it! No.
I bought a few games as well this last week.
Really?
If you're interested.
What'd you buy?
Are you interested, first
of all? What'd you buy? What'd you buy?
Okay. So, Another World was available for download at a reduced price this last week.
Yes, it was. What a damn good game it is.
You can play it on your PS3 and PS Vita.
Vita.
I think you can play it on all formats. Vita, I noticed you can download it on Wii U as well. And
yeah.
Of course, if you buy it on PlayStation, you can't play it on Wii U as well.
Well, the 20th
anniversary... It doesn't cross over
no,
that far.
No, unfortunately. The 20th anniversary edition is actually available on a variety of things. Even the iPhone, because that's where I played the 20th anniversary edition of it.
But you said you didn't have the nice graphics.
I didn't have the super duper graphics that you have, but it is still regarded as the 20th anniversary edition. I'm sure you can switch it, but it doesn't look anywhere near as good as it did.
Yeah, and there's a huge difference.
Oh yes, there is. It looks sexy.
The vector graphics, and it's one of those instances where the original graphics just aren't as good. Sometimes when they rework games and give like a new look, like a new skin to them, like R-Type Dimensions, I think. You find yourself going back to the old R-Type because it's like Halo nostalgic or Halo.
Halo Anniversary, where you realise how terrible the level design is when it's all crystal clear and how everything becomes a gigantic mess. Yeah.
For me, at least, with Another World, there was no question in which...
No, of course not. It looked amazing.
Yeah. And while it's still a very unique game, it's good that it's... People who haven't played it before are going to have the opportunity to play it and be introduced to it.
If any of you guys listening have listened to, have played the game, sorry, not listened to it. It does have to do with listening, that's why it's on my brain. Can you please play the first section of that game up to when you drop the cage on the guard? Because I'm pretty sure like half of the sound effects are missing, even from the original soundtrack. At least from the Super Nintendo version. Because there's a sound that... plays when you get stabbed by those worm things, and like after the guy's like Bethesda and shoots his gun in the air, it should
Bethesda.
Go like, yeah, he almost said whatever he's saying is something alien gibberish, and it goes as you drop the cage on him in the other versions, but it didn't, you know, it's like nothing happened, he just kind of dropped the cage.
But
on
this
him.
Is probably based off the original version of the game. Yeah, which I don't know what console it was first released
PC,
on.
I believe.
PC, I presume. Yeah. And maybe the console versions were slightly different. I know I have to go back and play my Mega Drive copy of it.
Yeah.
But it's not here, so I can't.
I haven't got my Super Nintendo copy here either. I looked after you were playing it. I was a bit gutted. I'm still in my drawer. One of like three games I left in my mum's is Another World. And I don't know why.
Or Out of This World in certain
it
territories.
It is called Out of This World in America, the US of A.
Great game. It's sometimes quite... cryptic as to what you need to do. I'm presently stuck on the game.
I can help you. I've played that game to death. I get very annoyed at the tank level because that is seemingly arbitrary unless you know what to do. Much to my frustration as a child where I didn't know what to do and now I know what to do. It's like, why the fuck would you put that in? That's such bad gameplay design. It involves you twiddling a load of buttons, essentially, within the tank, but you need to press certain button combinations and stuff.
Yeah.
And unless you know what you're doing, there's no clear thing. And like even then, you have to eject out of the tank, which isn't self-explanatory.
And for those used to modern games, this game doesn't have a tutorial mode. This is a game that tell you what button to press to do certain things.
That's a joy of it. Like
and Matt had to tell me how that I had a gun. No, that I would pick up a gun and
Cause
how
you almost
to fire
just walked
it
away
and
the shield and
yeah. It's worth playing if you haven't played it.
It is a damn good game, and the sense of satisfaction you get from like overcoming obstacles in that game is second to none.
Or perhaps, I mean, I say nothing quite like it. You could also play Heart of Darkness as well.
You could also play Flashback, which is also a very similar type of game. Mm-hmm. I'm not that familiar with Flashback. I love Heart of Darkness.
You could play Abe's Odyssey.
You could play Abe's Odyssey.
A little different, yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't put Abe in the same camp purely because...
I'd definitely put it under the action puzzle genre.
Tom's favourite made-up genre, yes.
It's not made-up. It's real.
It's not, Tom. It's not.
Does anyone else categorise their games on their PlayStation?
If you do, please let
folders?
Me know.
And what do you use
Tom
for
has
games like... that are action puzzle games.
Tom has a genre called action puzzle, which essentially is what Tom puts any game under that is a puzzle game,
but it's got action elements.
I would argue more the other way. I would say they're more action games with puzzle elements, and that's why I'd put them under an action game.
You put Another World as an
action
game.
Action game, yeah, definitely. You solve like 4 puzzles in that game.
Oh yeah, probably because I haven't really played it.
Yeah, properly. But even, what else have you got under there?
It's
you've got
puzzling.
Like,
you puzzle, though. You've got like, don't know what to do, so it's puzzling.
Yeah, but, oh, God.
So puzzling
now you're being
action.
Yeah, but you've got, like, Portal under there, and that's clearly a puzzle game.
I don't even own Portal.
I don't know. This is an example you used last night while trying to defend
this. But Portal worked, didn't it?
What? No, it doesn't. It's a puzzle game. What else have you got?
Puzzle action. Action.
What, no, it isn't. It's
you're
a puzzle
performing
game.
Action. The puzzle game is like Tetris. Ooh, or... Rubber Dubber Duck. What's that duck game on the PC?
What, the one you love?
Yeah, Super Rubber Dub.
Super Rubber Dub, yeah.
That's a puzzle game.
That's a puzzle game, yeah.
But
so
a Buster
Portal.
Move is a puzzle game. Portal is an action
Portal
puzzle game.
Portal is a puzzle game.
Because it melds two genres. The
no,
first person
yeah, but like,
shooter.
Do you need
and
to
puzzle.
Distinguish? It's not, yeah, but it's a first.
It helps me, Matthew. It helps me. And that's. If I'm looking for the game, trying to find it, it helps me.
I'm sorry, Tom.
So let's move on from that. Okay. So,
day 8 in the Tom and Matt Attack Shack. A lot of tension around the action puzzle genre.
I was out away in Aalborg. Aalborg.
I was
in Denmark.
Not. I was in work.
The third biggest city in Denmark.
City in Denmark.
It's
in
a lovely
my opinion.
City. Went away with work on something called a design seminar, which is a great thing. That Lego designers get to experience once a year, courtesy of the company.
I had too much work.
Yes, that's true. Missed out. Anyway, while I was there, I was in GameStop.
You were in GameStop.
Which, after saying to our friend Simon Wilson that I was in there, he says, why would I want to go there?
Really?
It's too expensive.
The man's got a point.
He has got a very good point. But also, I was able to find a couple of obscure... Well, titles I don't see all the time, titles that I usually have to go to eBay to find, which were Dragon Ball Revenge of King Piccolo.
Uncommon game!
I've bid on it on eBay before, but I outbid, and when I saw it for the reasonable price of, I think, 130 kroner, I snapped it up. It's an action platformer.
It's just a fucking platformer.
No, it's got an emphasis on fighting. So you do platforming
what,
comes
like
second
super,
to
like
the
Super
fighting.
Mario's got an emphasis on standing on mushrooms' heads. You mean
shush? and the actual combo system's rather good. It's quite in depth.
Yeah.
The fighting mechanics of the game.
Yeah,
and that's the main.
Is it quite part similar to Go Go Whackman?
Well, Go Go Whackman's not got that sort of fight.
Well, no, I know it's not. I know it's not got the depth to it, but like.
I guess Go Go Whackman has more emphasis on actual platforming, but not to the degree of something like Mario. So yes, okay, you could say, and the Akira Toriyama connection is there as well.
Yeah,
so yeah, it's similar.
Also probably by Van Presto, I would imagine.
I don't know. Namco Bandai.
Okay.
A subsidiary, I think. I'm not sure if it's just published by them or...
Well, Van Presto is part of Namco Bandai, and hence the ban.
I don't know if Banpresto exists as that name anymore, do they?
I think they do. Well, maybe they're still under Namco Bandai anyway, so
okay.
I would
maybe
imagine
they did
the
develop
same
it.
People, yeah.
Maybe. Let us know if you know more
I've
about
it. I've not
got
my phone to hand, otherwise I'd check,
maybe
but
do.
Maybe.
But this game's cool because it also features a one-on-one fighting option too.
Oh, really?
Which is always nice. One thing did frustrate me about the game, though, is it's one of these Japanese games and...
Oh, not one of them.
With anything with based on a franchise with a story, they like to have these scenes where two characters are on screen talking to each other.
Oh, is it kind of like the Street Fighter thing where, like, the face and then text?
Face and text. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Then you think that's over. Cut scene. Blah, blah, blah.
Oh,
you
know, God, really? Like, oh,
I just want to play the game. When it's a platform game, I like to be thrown straight in there.
When it's a platform game?
When it's an action platform game or a platform game. Did I just call it an action platform game?
I don't know.
Because they're kind of the same thing, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, dear. Anyway, it's worth a go. I played to the first level and got to quite an interesting boss fight. I imagine there's this cool homing thing where it's kind of like Sonic's homing attack.
I was going to ask more recent, that.
So you can get certain platforms by using this homing attack.
Yeah.
There's cool. These little floating robots which you home onto and then you leap off them to get to certain areas.
Robots in Dragon Ball?
Of course. It was, you know, little kind of... You know the Red Ribbon saga?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Gyro makes
robots. Yeah, 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 yeah. And then, of course, I mean, in Z, you also have Red Ribbon stuff with the androids. Yeah, yeah, of course, there's robots in Dragon Ball. Sorry. I haven't watched it in ages.
So it's got some unique mechanics in there. I suggest it. Not only just for fans of Dragon Ball, but for Wii owners who want a sort of a more traditional side-scrolling platformer.
I'd like to have a look at it. Sounds pretty unique.
Also picked up Turtles Smash Up.
Yes, a game we already own.
Terribly titled game. But yeah, Matt owns it on a PS2, but I was quite keen to own the Wii version because it was
four players.
Of course, I haven't got a multi-tap for PS2.
Which is a bit odd because we have seven PS2 controllers, I think, now.
We have more than that, I think.
Probably.
Littered around the place. But the PS2 has never been a console I've really used for four-player gaming, and I don't think there's that many titles on there which really scream, play me in four-player.
Time Splitters, but you could do that better on the GameCube.
Yeah, I play Time Splitters 2 on the Xbox.
Yeah.
You know, that's got four controller ports. Clever, Microsoft. Thanks for that.
And clever Nintendo.
And clever Nintendo, but I'm saying, like, them in Sony in the olden days.
Who wants to play four player?
No one wants to play four player.
What games support that? These ones, shush you, Western developers.
Anyway, Turtles Smash Up is developed by Game Arts, and obviously you can see the similarities between this game and Smash Brothers.
Yes.
Though it doesn't feature a smash attack, to my knowledge.
No.
And it isn't like build up percentage, knock them off.
No.
It is, they have a health meter.
Yeah.
Then you have a special attack. You collect items and then you have a button for a special attack. Just like if you collect an item in Smash Brothers. If you like Smash Brothers, you probably get a kick out of this. We're just a fighting game fan in general. It's incredibly easy on the default normal setting. Very easy. Sometimes you'll hardly be playing a match and maybe the computer character will jump off the screen into the abyss and win just.
And then sometimes stuff comes out of the background and kills you without no reason.
Yeah,
normally.
And that happens to the computer sometimes. What I was saying, and then you automatically win because whereas you have like two chances, two lives, the computer only has one on the standard setting. So it's a bit of a cakewalk. It's nicely presented though. The cutscenes are all done in 2D comic book style.
Yes.
The actual turtles in the game are based off those in the, not the most recent Turtles movie, but the last animated one.
TMNT, yeah. That one that came out in 2008, 2009.
And the fighting doesn't feel that fluid. I think
no, it doesn't.
That's the real problem with it. The turning from what left to right, it feels cumbersome.
Yes, it is a bit of a pain, which is a shame.
So it's nearly rather good. But it just ends up being pretty good.
That's a pretty good summary of this podcast as well, isn't it? Really rather good.
But just ends up in the end.
It just ends up
in
the end, like we waffled on. Yeah, pretty good.
That was 100 kroner. It's quite nice, reasonably pricey.
Well,
but it's not
right.
A game you see around all
no,
the time.
No, I mean,
is
like, and when we saw it last time in our local GameStop, it was almost twice or three times that price.
Really,
this is why we got the PS2 version.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Speaking of Smash Brothers, you had a little dabble on the 3DS version.
I don't think you ever did you?
I didn't, because I can't fucking download it. Thanks, Nintendo.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm going to try and do it on the air.
But now it's available for everyone. At the point where I downloaded it earlier in the week, I was given a download code by my good friend Paul. Thanks for that, Paul. and Paul Tinker, that is, and great surname, I must say. And it's really good. I wasn't expected, I didn't expect to be particularly taken with it, to be honest. And it's underneath the table.
Ah,
the
that's table, where I can't find it.
I was tidying up earlier. It's plays really well on the 3DS. The transition from a big screen, big home console to portable works surprisingly well. I really like the addition of the black outlines around the characters. I even think that would be a nice thing to feature in the big screen games, because it does enable you to follow your character a lot more easily. It feels really tight. The controls, you know, I haven't played Smash Bros. For a while, but
yeah,
this feels better than it's ever done to me, okay, really. Also, it helped that on the demo, the computer difficulty doesn't seem incredibly high, so I was able to win.
Okay.
Which, when I've played it recently, has usually been against human players who are especially good at it, so I haven't won a Smash Bros. Match for quite some time.
But it's a shame.
It was very easy to do the Smash attacks, easier than I've actually found it in some other games. I don't know why that was. I worked out the controls pretty quickly, mapped to the 3DS's buttons. It all seemed to be working as you'd expect. Yes. I liked some of the new pickup weapons that I hadn't experienced before.
For examples, is those?
There's the flood cannon from Mario Sunshine. I can't remember if that was in previous versions.
I don't think it was. I'm pretty sure from what I saw of Pat and Yes Punk's thing, then yeah, that's a new thing.
Yeah, and there were other ones. Well, I can't remember them all. In the demo, you get to play as Mario, Pikachu, Link, Villager, Mega Man. I think that's it.
Yeah, well, I want to play as Mega Man, so I'm interested to...
A Mega crack. Man, to me, you know, he's got all ranged attacks.
Yeah.
Of course, as you'd expect. Which I wasn't so keen on, because I like to, in my fighting
get
games, get up close, lay into them a little bit.
Well, yeah, that's what you kind of have to do in Smash Brothers. That seems like a bit of an odd choice.
Yeah, but he has got other special attacks on the B button.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
Which, like a grass attack. I mean, I think they relate to the abilities that
yes,
Mega Man collects.
The robot
the games. Yeah.
Steady kills.
Only one arena to play on in this demo, but that's fine. That's all you really need to test the game out, which is what this is. You know,
yeah.
Do you want to buy it, have a go first? And I'm actually rather tempted to pick this up on release. Probably more so, I'd like to own a portable version of Smash Bros. More than I need to own another home console version.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
If I had to say, oh, which one am I going to get? If I want to save some money, I'd opt for the 3DS version.
I did think. Also see Nintendo have done the very clever thing of saying, hey, if you buy this version of Smash Brothers, like, or if you get the home console version, you can also use the 3DS as a controller.
Mm.
So it's obviously saying, like, hey, if you've played Smash Brothers for a month or so on the 3DS, then you don't want to have to go through the learning curve of learning again on a controller, then you can do that.
Mm. But I probably wouldn't suggest that. Because
an error has occurred, unable to update again. God damn it.
I mean, you've probably seen online that people who have been playing this demo a lot have damaged their 3DSs.
Yes.
They're analog stick, circle pad, if you will.
Yes.
Because the game does ask you to hold it down. I don't know how people manage to do it. Maybe if they play it an awful lot and they're very vigorous with their controllers.
Well, to name drop him again, our good friend Austin has gone through several GameCube controllers.
Yeah, that one he's currently using is a little bit mashed.
Yes, it is.
So I can see how if you're a hardcore player who plays it a lot that you might end up damaging your console.
But I mean,
but for
like,
you're normal people, like...
I mean, it feels pretty robust, but I mean, like, you can see how you could accidentally get your thumb under there or something, you know, and you
maybe
can pull
it
off.
I don't know.
Neither do I.
But I'm not worried about damaging my 3DS, because I'm not going to...
I'm not
going to play it, obviously, if I buy it, but I'm not going to...
Destroy it. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Incidentally, if anyone works in games retail and can help me unlock a 3DS me and my girlfriend bought at a flea market a couple of weeks ago, we bought it and there's a parental lock on it, and there seems to be no other way to get around a parental lock other than having a PC, which I don't have. I have a Mac, and Tom's got a work PC, so I can't use that either.
And I couldn't remember...
To generate a code.
I couldn't remember how we got by that when I used to work at Game.
From what I understand, there's a guy you can ring, and a good friend of ours who shall remain nameless has tried it, but then there was no fruit yielded from that. So if you have to happen to work at games retailers, so certain games retailers have a system for unlocking these things, please really? Get in contact.
I don't think we did it, Game. I think it was a case of if he's got a parental lock, we couldn't trade it in. But then again, something in the back of my head makes me think that there was some sort of workaround for that.
Yeah.
But I can't remember what it could have been.
There's a way to generate a code based on the code you have. But if you work in games retail, I don't think Game does it, but any other places, they have a system.
You can't find anything online.
There's no way to do it. Look, if it was living in America, I could charge, like, it was like $3 or something, and they'd unlock it for me. Because but in Europe, there's no way. And because the copy was sold in Denmark and registered in Denmark, I think I'd have to ring Danish customer services, which will probably not speak English.
I had a problem with your American PS2, actually. I was trying to play a DVD on it.
Yeah.
And I came up and I put the DVD into parental lock.
Yeah.
That it could tell that the DVD was of a certain
age
yeah. Restriction. And I looked it up online and I just found there is like a code to put in, a certain series of numbers
yeah.
that will bypass the parental code.
Oh, interesting.
So I don't know if there is a certain series of numbers that is readily available online which will bypass
the there code. There isn't for the 3DS. You need... It's all based on the time that's on the system. That's why I think I'd have to ring the Danish customer service or reset the clock on it to the UK time. Because it's all based on the time and stuff. It's weird how it unlocks. It's really complicated.
Okay, well, yeah. Good luck with that.
Yeah, but like I said, if I had a PC, you could get a bit of software that runs the code for you and like you can set the time and all this kind of stuff. And certain games retail apparently have this software and that's where it's engineered from.
Ew.
So if you work in games retail, please get in touch. Twitter at TMAcast. I haven't really bought a lot this week. I got Joe Danger and a copy of... T4K, is it? The Llamasoft game is
currently
available.
I'll tell you what that game is because I own it, but I can't remember what it's called. It's called TXK.
TXK. See, I wasn't that far off.
Or T times K. It's basically, what's it called? Tempest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, a bit of Llamasoft. Can't go wrong. It's Tempest under a different name, but it's all right. It was free on PS Plus. That's why I picked them both up.
Yeah,
I really like Joe
too.
Danger.
I got Joe Danger, I haven't played it yet.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but good things, and obviously it's from the developers now making No Man's Sky, which is kind of, they made the Joe Danger games to make money, and then they could make the project they wanted to, which is kind of ingenious of them.
I picked up Machinarium when it was cheap. For
yes.
Because it wasn't a cross-buy, because I own the PS3 version, but they didn't give me access to the Vita version.
Oh, that's
so
a shame.
It was like a pound or something, I thought, oh, nice to have it on Vita.
Yeah, it's a good game too.
Of course it is.
Other than that, I've just been playing a little bit of Destiny.
Tell us more about your continued adventures.
Well,
I know you will.
I got past level 20, or got to level 20 in the last podcast. I then grinded up to level 21 that evening by doing some rare farming drops. I kind of been playing it this week, and I must say, like, the Vault of Glass, the first raid unlocked on Tuesday, the day after last week's podcast went up, and it was beaten within 14 hours or something by some clan, and they died like 100,000 million times, and they didn't. It was in the thousands, though, where they died. And they didn't really get anything for it other than loot and unlocked a harder version of the raid, which seems like it might be masochistic, because watching people try attempt the regular Vault of Glass was a bit hard going, to be honest. Like, people were dying a lot, and there seemed to be a lot of strategy to it, much in the vein of Vanilla WoW, in that it was a raid that involved a lot of teamwork and cooperation and communication. But I don't know, like, because that's all there is at the moment, and they've said that they may be releasing another raid or another strike or something in October, but like, once you've done that raid, what is there to that game? Like, I'm starting to feel a bit bored of the grind already. Like, I'm level 24 in almost 2 weeks of the game coming out, and the max level I've seen is 28. And that was one of the guys who'd beaten Vault of Glass. So I'm thinking, like, well, is this game going to have any lasting appeal? Like, is it just going to be a thing I'm going to pick up every now and again and go, okay, that was nice, I'll play this bit and then play that? Because I tried playing it with my friend Jakob, who is the guy I used to play Battlefield with. And I must say, there was no because of how the multiplayer is, you either get the multiplayer or you don't. There's no middle ground with it. It's very fast. Mm-hmm. And despite what Bungie said about the leveling and how people go up, you know, the levels all vary out as to not give people advantages, it doesn't really work because everyone's still got all their power-ups. And if I've got, like, a level 13, like, if I'm a level 13 guy versus someone who's, like, level 24, 25, and he's got an exotic hand cannon with, like, 17 bullets in it, and then you're just a bloke with a machine gun with 12 bullets in a clip, like, it's just really not intuitive. Like, it's really not balanced well. And that meant that he didn't really want to play the multiplayer, so he just kind of played the story. And, like, I didn't really want to play the story because I'd already done it.
Yeah.
And so I think unless you really start with people, and I mean, like, I've been playing it with people, and I would definitely say it's better to play with people. But you need to just kind of, it's the same as, like, WoW or something. You need to burn through to that end game content, and then you can kind of just farm with people, and it makes you more bearable. But I don't know. I'm going to attempt the raid before I write the review for Blast Process, but almost 2 weeks in, and I'm kind of like, well, this is a really good, competent game, but I don't get how they're planning on getting 10 years of gameplay out of it. Like, I think they should have released more.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, this is, I guess, always going to be the problem with MMOs, is that despite how much effort and stuff you put into the original release, people are going to burn through that content quite quickly, and then there's not going to be anything to do. Unlike a game like WoW, which has been around for almost 10 years, that all of this stuff is already in place. So, like, you know, when you got bored of this, you can go faff around in this area that no one's done anything in for 5 years, or at least you could before Cataclysm. You know, that there was a richness to the world that doesn't seem to really be there in Destiny. And I really hate they having a companion app, which also serves as Bungie.net.
Mm-hmm.
So you can look at these things called grimoire cards, which are all the lore and backstory you get from killing enemies and unlocking secret things and levels and stuff.
Yeah.
And you can't read them in the game. You can only read them on Bungie.net or on the phone app.
So it forces you to have to use
it. So it forces you to use something, which means that 99% of the story of this game, this rich, really developed world, you don't actually see. Because of some weird marketing strategy that they wanted people to use their website or use an app. And it's kind of stupid.
Cross-platform.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a bit bullshit, to be honest. Like, I would have liked to be able to do it in the game. And there are some flaws with it, as other people have pointed out. Like, there's no interaction, really, with the merchants. You don't really know who they are. Cut that. That's all right. Like, there's a guy called the Cryptarch, who is a guy who decodes these things you pick up called engrams, which are, like, encrypted items that you can't tell what they are until you go to this guy, and then he kind of gives you an item based on one of them. And, like, you have no idea where he is. What the fuck is a Cryptarch? What is an engram?
A Cryptard.
A Cryptarch.
Oh.
Like, it's this guy's title. He's a Cryptarch, and his engrams. And, like, what the hell is that? Like, to someone not playing this game, like, give me some contact. Give me some context for, like, what you're giving to me in the game. It's weird. But I'll see. I'm not holding up hope that after the raid I'm going to be any more in love with this game. It may show me the possibility of this game, but I still think that buying Destiny is kind of like buying a PS4 at launch, you know? It's like, it's pretty and there's some stuff to do on it, but yeah, not a fucking lot.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But you've had a great time with it.
I have had a great time with it.
Now you're starting to realise, how much more can I get out of this experience?
I don't think a lot at the moment.
Yeah.
And I started to get the terrible thing of why I fell out of love with WoW is that I was very aware that I was just chasing gear. And that's all I'm doing at the moment is chasing gear so I can chase more gear. And that isn't fun. And, like, even the multiplayer matches now, I get disappointed when I don't get gear from them because it's so focused around this idea of leveling your character that it's kind of taken something out of the game for me. Like, when I was playing Halo 2 and the matchmaking was around levels, like, that was just, like, you were playing to be better. Like, you were playing so you could play better players on a better playing field. On this, you're just playing to get better loot you can take on the raid, and I don't know how long that's gonna take to do because I'm almost at 25.
Mm-hmm.
and the recommended level for the raid is 26. And I'm like, well, what happens after the raid? Then I've done everything. Like, they're going to release some content about the queen of whatever, the some woman in the game who you run into in the story, which I've still not completed because I have no interest really in the story. It's all the same mission of go somewhere, put a ghost down, wait for the ghost to decode something while you shoot enemies. And I'm not the first person to say that. That seems to be a massive complaint across the board.
It's not like Halo's story, for
instance. I don't think Halo's story is particularly amazing, to be honest. But at least Halo's story...
Reach did something, didn't it?
Yeah, but at least Halo has like different facets to how it does its missions. Like, yeah, generally you walk into a corridor shooting a load of enemies.
There were good other characters in that one.
Yeah, but this is the thing.
You cared about,
there's
like
no
the beardy guy.
Yeah, but you don't even give a shit about your character, because your character is you. Your character is an avatar, like I've said, like Gordon Freeman or something, that is just... You're there to tell the story, and there should be good other supportive characters around you. Like, even Peter Dinklage's character, the ghost, is, like, almost a cameo, because he says lines, but he doesn't really interact with you that much. He says something witty every now and again, which is delivered with the delivery of a four-year-old child reading a cereal box.
So to make the game feel maybe more alive and more human, it needs more
characters to interact with. It also needs more stuff, because there's not a lot there. Like, if it would have been a single player campaign with a very open multiplayer, then yes, it might have been good. But as the whole PvE campaign is gated around everyone playing online and doing raids and stuff, kind of falls a bit short, which is a bit sad. But yeah, I'll play a little bit more of it this week and then I'll see what happens.
There's a couple of games released this last week which we haven't played, which have been talked about in the games media. One would be Hyrule Warriors.
Yes.
I watched three different video reviews this morning on YouTube, and they both gave the same sort of score. It's IGN and GameSpot, and I watched Pro Jared's review of the game. He gave it 7, 8 from 8 from GameSpot. Yeah. And they all agreed that, yes, it was like these other Dynasty Warriors games, but it was with all the improvements that have been made to the general gameplay over the years. It's like one of the better ones because of its the timing it's been released, the games have improved slightly. But it is essentially the same thing.
Yeah.
And everyone said, but they enjoyed it.
Yeah.
All these reviewers enjoyed playing the game, even though it's... If you don't like Dynasty Warriors games, I don't think this is going to convert you.
Yeah.
But they said it was Dynasty Warriors game done well. And
yeah, but like, surely they should be after this point. Like, you know, like, how many of them are released a year?
Yeah. Like, that was the point. It was one of the better ones because it's one of the later ones to be released, and they've made improvements in recent years.
Yeah, but it's still a Dynasty Warriors game. It's still a game you're going to play for a couple of hours and then go like, wow, this is exactly the same thing over again. Same problem running into with Destiny.
Apparently it's like 10 hours or something you can get out of it, and then there's this adventure mode which takes place on the map of the original Legend of Zelda.
Okay.
And it's through this mode that you unlock some of the extra characters. Basically go to different areas on the map and do certain fights, but you can all the old secrets from the original Legend of Zelda map are there.
Okay.
And you can go to that place, find the secret, and get new.
That sounds pretty cool. Like, I didn't know that. That sounds
actually
pretty cool.
Yeah, that's added on the end once you've done the main bit.
Oh, yeah, but like, I don't want to do the main bit. It's the same thing. Like, it's Guitar Hero all over again. Like, what happens if I don't want to play Rush?
The criticisms I've heard that leveled at the game with the boss battles weren't particularly clever.
No, of course they're not.
Very simple patterns, and it's not like. And also, it's interesting that they use some of the ideas from previous Zelda games, which is quite cool in a way. The Dodongo, you throw the bombs in its mouth, and you shoot the Goma in the eye, and things like that. So if you played them, I guess you already know these weaknesses.
Yeah.
One reviewer described that as a spoiler.
Yeah.
If you haven't played the other games, that you might.
Oh,
I thought that was a bit silly, to be honest, because anyone who's playing this game knows Zelda.
Yeah.
I think.
My concern with it is I read a Polygon review, and they kind of took it to review it as a Zelda game, which I think is the wrong way of doing it, because it's not a Zelda game.
Apparently, they fit it in some sort of temporality. What's that word?
Yeah, it is somewhere on a timeline thing, isn't it? Like, it is an official Zelda game.
And then there's this interdimensional way to go to these different Zelda timelines. Blah.
And there is some nonsense of that behind it. But, like, Polygon reviewed it as a Zelda title because they said, like, mums and dads picking this up for their kid at Christmas aren't going to know it's not a Zelda title. Like, they're going to buy it as a Zelda game.
Stupid. And so they take that angle on it, isn't it?
Yeah, you worked in games retail, though. Like, you know that's going to happen. You know people are going to come in and go, where's that Zelda game? And they're going to buy it because it's a Zelda game. Like,
but they're writing for an audience which knows games.
Yeah, but,
and
yeah,
they're criticising the game.
Yeah,
that
I know. But, like, they still criticised it because it's a Dynasty Warriors game and they argued that the franchise hasn't really gone anywhere in the last couple of years and it's kind of the same thing again, but it's just with Zelda characters. And it's even more limited because there's not that many characters in it, whereas a Dynasty Warriors game or a Warrior or Chi or whatever the hell the other ones are have, like, 30, 40 characters to choose from. And the difference, like, the subtleties of the gameplay apparently are in the differences in the characters. And there isn't really enough in Hyrule Warriors.
Apparently I've heard there's only three villains you can play as.
Yeah.
One of the reviews that I saw this morning, it was commenting that they'd hope that there'd be two separate story modes, one for the villains, one for the good guys.
Yeah, good.
But because there's so many good guys and not so many villains, you just get the villain one thrown into the main storyline.
Yeah.
You don't get a lot of time to play as these characters.
Okay.
Yeah. Apparently Ganondorf.
Yeah.
And whoever else.
Okay.
But it looked nice. One of the big criticisms, actually, of the game was the fact you can play multiplayer.
Yeah.
But you play multiplayer, one plays on the gamepad, one plays on the screen. To make this work, the resolution, even on your television screen, goes down to that of a gamepad resolution.
Really?
And so you get the gamepad resolution blown up to the big screen.
Okay.
I guess it's because it's the gamepad basically is kind of pushing out what's on the screen normally. And if you're having to push out what's on the screen twice, or push out something that isn't on the screen, then you're going to have some compensation for that. Also, the slowdown. Even if you're the one playing on the screen, you're going to get slowdown.
In multiplayer or normally?
On multiplayer. This is only affecting the co-op multiplayer.
Well, it's essentially rendering the game twice, isn't it? Like,
that's basically it. So they're having to cut down on the frame rate and stuff.
Very interesting that they have to do that, though, because, I mean, like, you've had multiplayer games we've talked about since the PS2 that have had, like, split screen and stuff.
Mm.
And that's never been an issue before.
Mm.
Like, it's Dynasty Warrior games on the Wii U anyway. I guess, to see how it compares to those.
Using the pad, it's usually the game, the Wii U is sending what you're seeing on screen to the gamepad.
Yeah.
This time it's having to send something else which isn't happening on screen.
Oh, God, that's interesting than that.
That's what happens, yeah.
Oh boy, that's not good.
I don't know exactly the technical issues behind it.
Yeah.
Another game that came out this last week was D4, the surprise for Xbox One owners. Don't know any Xbox One owners.
I don't. I'm hoping to play it at EGX next week if I do go. I'm going to be popping along Friday. For anyone attending, please give me a shout out on Twitter at TMAcast and I'll come and meet you. I'll be nice. Deadly Dreams Don't Die, I think it's called. Like, it's the new...
It's that's close enough,
I think. It's the new...
Dark Dreams Don't Die?
Yeah, Dark Dreams Don't Die, I think. It's a new swirly title. The guy who made Deadly Premonition.
Swervy. Yeah, and so it's been received warmly by people who have certainly enjoyed Deadly Premonition in the past.
And
if you don't like that game,
it looks absolutely batshit. Yeah. I'm actually quite looking forward to playing it. It kind of reminds me of the style of how the game's done, kind of reminds me of Catherine as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But
frustrating it's an exclusive, really.
Yeah,
for those
it is
who
a
don't
bit.
Own Xbox One.
Yeah.
But maybe later down the line it will do a Deadly Premonition thing, get released as a director's cut on the PlayStation 4.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed, hopefully. Maybe. Who knows?
Wait and see.
Yeah, we'll see what it's like. I guess we should probably touch upon very quickly. Or should we bother doing it? Like, I guess we're a week behind now.
Should we bother doing what, Matthew?
Minecraft and the purchase of
didn't we mention
Mojang
it last week?
By
and
Microsoft.
We were going to talk about this.
Yeah,
week.
We did. I don't think we need to cover it.
Well, considering we've never felt it important enough to say at the start of the podcast and only just come to it at the very end.
Yeah. You know the story. It's a bit sketchy. All of the founders have left.
Yeah.
Everyone's a bit up in the air about it as to what it means. Obviously, Microsoft now gets all of the cash from all of the different versions of Minecraft. Does it mean they're going to make some kind of weird Minecraft 2 and then make that an exclusive? Who knows? Too early to tell.
Who knows?
Probably will, but I would imagine the money that is coming in off of the franchise is probably enough of a reason to purchase it.
But we do know is Minecraft is as strong as ever.
Yes.
Right now.
Well, it is.
I was talking to my little cousin on Xbox Live today. I said, what have you been playing lately? And he says, Terrania?
Yeah, Terrania.
And Minecraft.
Yeah.
And Assassin's Creed. But the point was, he was, even my little cousin, you know, it was playing Minecraft. I think most
my 10-year-old cousin has books. Like, he literally has books on Minecraft. It blows my mind.
I say even my little cousin, because last time I saw him, he wasn't even into Minecraft.
Yeah.
He was busy playing other games.
My nephew,
Sonic the Hedgehog.
When I was playing it, God, how long ago? Like, university, so at least 3 years ago, I was playing with my uni friends. Mm-hmm. And he was blown away by it. He's like, can I have a go? I let him play the single player, and he was amazed by it. Like he was, what has he been? Like 7 of the time?
Yeah. I remember how amazed I was by Minecraft when I played it for the first
God.
Time.
God. But like he picked it up, and he's like, brruh, 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 and built stuff. I was like, oh, God. Like I could see I was going. I was like, okay, I'm going to take it back off you now. And like he was then trying to like, when I was going to work, he was like, can you set Minecraft up for me? I was like, no. I'm not starting this thing of you playing on my PC all the time. But no.
It is so popular.
It is.
It's got this enduring charm that, yeah.
It's in its simplicity, though. It sounds like Notch is kind of going, like, recluse now, though. Did you read the statement he put out? Essentially, he said, like, if he ever makes a game that starts to become this successful again, then he's going to just leave it. Like, he doesn't want
to... Oh, he's too cool for a success.
No, he just hated it. Like, but can you imagine, like, when you think of Minecraft, you think of Notch. Like, think how many people, like, think how much hate mail you must get off people because of, like, their server going down and all this kind of stuff. Especially when they're, like, kids who are, like, 10, 11, who know no different. And, like, how much he must get bothered because he is Notch and he is
That's
quite recognisable.
Like that.
Yeah, but, like, think about it. Like, he's... probably, like, bigger than, like, Kojima. He's probably bigger than, like, a lot of these guys who we quote names and stuff. Like...
Miyamoto.
I'd argue he's on probably the same level.
Yeah.
Like, at least the kids today, you know? Like, and this is off one game.
Yeah.
He's probably is more household of a name than Miyamoto with kids.
I wasn't aware that he was the creator of Minecraft, though, because I'm not on the ball with that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But until you told me.
Yeah, fair enough. But he is very well known, and he is a very big Twitter personality.
Yeah, he's one of the modern gaming celebrities now.
Yes, he
is. I'm more familiar with the older ones, but there are a new breed, a new generation of game designers which are getting this celebrity status.
Yes.
Like Notch.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you want to hear the reviews? Not reviews, sorry.
Incoming games.
We've just done reviews.
Incoming games.
Incoming games.
Worms reference. There we go.
25th of September will bring us FIFA on everything.
On everything!
FIFA 15, not because there's 15 different versions, but because it's a 15.
There probably is 15 different versions if you count them.
There's a 6, 8.
It's probably iPhone versions, it's probably Android versions, it's probably a PC and a Mac version that aren't there.
The Vita, 3DS. Wii?
Yeah.
That's the original Wii as well.
Yeah, but not the Wii U. Irony.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Not that surprising, though, considering the user base for the Wii is considerably larger.
Still.
You can play them on your Wii U's as well.
Yeah, that's true.
The Vanishing of Ethan Carter is released on PC and PS4.
No idea what that is.
Neither do I. I'm not going to look. Maybe it's great.
We'll probably talk about that next week. Remember we mentioned that Vanishing of Ethan Carter game? Well.
Fantasy Life is released on the 26th of September for the 3DS.
Yeah.
Harvest Moon.
Yeah, it is.
And on the 3rd of September, Shadow of Mordor is released on PC before anything else.
Interesting.
I assume it. Well, I think it's for anything else. Or is it already out on the other consoles?
I didn't think it was. Maybe it's kind of been came out on the same day as Destiny. Maybe someone thought that would be a good idea.
No, it wasn't.
I just realised we didn't mention last week that Infinity 2 is out as well.
What's Infinity 2, Matthew?
Infinity 2, Disney Infinity 2.
Oh, Disney Infinity
Marvel
2.
Marvel Superheroes.
Yeah, I didn't see it when I was looking through the new releases. And, of course, I saw on the Wii U menu that people had been playing it, big flocks of people. You know.
Yeah.
Nearly as many as Hyrule Warriors.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I wonder what that's like. I like the new figures, so the Marvel figures are
they look
nice.
Cool. I kind of like some of them. Some of the Lego versions, to be honest, with certain characters. Uh-huh. Like, I looked at some of them and, like, their figures are, they're very stylized.
Spider-Man looks fun.
I really like the look of Star-Lord. I actually really wanted, I was going to buy that figure on its own because I thought it was really cool.
Groot looks good.
You can only buy Star-Lord in the pack, like with the level pack. You can't buy him on his own, which kind of sucks because I just wanted that figure.
Rocket Raccoon.
His Guardians
characters are very popular.
Yeah, well, I'm sure there's cool ones. I'm sure there's like a Deadpool and stuff as well. Or maybe there isn't. Maybe he's a bit too up in age.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. And he's not as well known as some of the other ones at the Avengers.
Deadpool movie in 16 now, apparently. Yeah, not for They've kids. Announced it. Yeah.
Are they going to maybe put it, age it down?
Probably will, won't maybe. They? Let's be honest.
I don't know. That's the releases.
To bring us into October. But we'll say those next week.
And we'll tell you all about that next week.
We will, hopefully.
Unless
I'll have
you
been
want
to
go Eurogamer.net and look them up yourself.
I figure out, Lee, I could do. If I do, I really want to play Splatoon. But we'll see about that. And if I go, because I have a lot of work on still. Which is a shame. But never mind. Anything you would like to say for the end of this, Thomas? Yes.
To the end of this podcast. Your games cabinet.
Oh, yeah, I do have my Game Boy games cabinet now is assembled. I just built it. I'm going to take a picture. I'll upload it now onto the Twitter. So by the time you look at this, it'll already be there. You can gawk at my Game Boy stuff. There's not really that much. There's a lot in there, but like it's going to be bigger. There's more stuff in my house in Wales that needs to go into that cabinet, and I'm going to reshuffle some of the stuff.
Yeah, it's quite full already.
Yeah, it's quite full already, and I'm going to do a video game collection video. I've reached 200 Game Boy games, and so I'm going to rattle them all off and go, hey, here's my 200 Game Boy games so far. And then I'm going to give it a bit of a short break. Like, I feel I've collected so many Game Boy games at the moment that
I can see this coming.
No, I'm not going to give it up. I'm just going to buy one or two a month now.
Okay.
But
it has slowed down recently. I know you've invested a lot of time into Destiny. You seem to have been quite focused on that.
Well, I just kind of wanted a break. Yeah. Like, and it's why I haven't made any Game Boy videos over the last couple of weeks. I'm going to make one this week coming now of Fish Dude. I did film the footage for Kirby's Dream Land 2, but I don't know. I don't really want to make that video yet. Like, I kind of rushed through it a bit, and I kind of want to go back and play it a bit more before I actually make a set in stone my opinion of that
game. So Game Boy isn't dead, it's just...
No, it isn't. It's just on a bit of a break at the moment. Just because I have so much work to do at work then other stuff as well, and I want to get back into running, and so burning up all my time looking at Game Boy ads at the moment probably isn't the most
thing. It's good to have a break from that.
Yeah, I think the fact that we have like 8 million spare copies of stuff sat in a pile that I kind of want to sell off for the time being, and then maybe fund a bit of my Game Boy collection that way.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll see. But it'll be back this week. Anyways, it'll be a Fish Dude episode up, hopefully, by the end of the week. If not, it'll be the week after, if I do go to Eurogamer. If not, I'll do it over the weekend. Probably from October, I'll resume it, I would imagine.
Probably. Maybe.
No, it will definitely be back underway by October. I'm hoping to get it back underway in September, but just in case, it'll be October.
And there we are, another week, another Tom and Matt attack. We hope you've enjoyed listening.
I hope so. You can check us out on Twitter at TMAcast. As we've said, let us know about all of these things we've mentioned in the podcast. Are you going to Eurogamer? Let me know if you are. If you classify your games on the PS3 or the Xbox, I don't know if you can classify them on the Xbox.
I don't know if you can on the Xbox. It's a feature I really like about the PS3.
The sorting of the PS3. You can't on the PS4 either. I really wish you could, because I would like subfolders other than that really long line.
It was something I realised quite late on. Owning a PS3 that I could actually do this, and it was a very welcome addition.
It is a really nice feature. Do you believe in odd socks? Let us know that as well on TMA Cast. Or you can also do it on our Facebook at www.facebook.com/TomAndMattAttack. Go to iTunes. Give us a cheeky rate and subscribe. Tell other people, ladies and gentlemen. I personally feel this has probably been one of our better episodes, even though we've kind of rambled about stuff because I'm overtired and full of energy. Yay. So let other people know about the podcast. We would greatly appreciate it as... Nobody likes us anymore,
oh,
Tom.
Oh, come on, they do.
Yeah, I think so.
And thank you for the likes and such on Facebook just recently. I only just posted last week's episode earlier today with a picture. And yeah, I had some likes and we had a new follower.
Yes, Carl, he's an old school Twitter follower that's finally got onto our
Facebook.
So,
John Ho from work also is following us now.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Cool.
So, yeah, thank you for your interest. Let's have more of it.
Yeah! Right, until next week, guys. Game on.
Game on.